Thank you, Kevin, and good morning. Good to be with one another this beautiful day. We're going to start with a text that was read to us a few moments ago. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 tell us, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." The context of this, I think, is something that I know in my study and teaching of this, I probably have not spent as much time trying to place this in the context that it falls within this particular passage. If we notice, for example, back in verses 12 through 15, it begins a section that talks about the importance of enduring temptation. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. It is within this passage as well that we will find in verses 14 through 15 what could be called a definition of what temptation is. We shouldn't imagine that, well, God tempts me or temptation is from somewhere else. Instead, there the Holy Spirit leads James to help us understand that our temptation comes from our own desire. It is within verses 16 through 18 that we could describe kind of a section that urges that we avoid allowing ourselves to be deceived. Now, while that's broad and could apply to many kinds of things, James, through the Holy Spirit, will move on into the next few verses to deal with the text that Grady read for us to begin with a few moments ago, that God is the giver of all things. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And then you'll notice in verse 18 this statement that He brought us forth by His Word. And think about that and the wording that's used there, that we might be a type of first fruits. Last week in our lesson on elementary principles, when we talked about resurrection, one of the things that we dealt with was 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where there the same term is used, that He was a type of first fruits of those who were resurrected, illustrating the similarity between His resurrection and ours. But notice in this text, in verse 18, the fact that it describes us being brought forth by the Word connects directly to what will come after the passage that we read, verses 19 through 20, there where the Holy Spirit through James will urge us not simply to be hearers of the Word, but to be doers of the Word. Now, I call your attention specifically to one element of this reading in verses 19 through 20 that I want us to spend some time with this morning, and that is the admonition that we are to be swift to hear. Some translations may say quick to listen. I want you to think about that, because in the context, I think while I've probably most often thought of that as simply something talking about personal behavior, interaction between people, certainly, the context, if it starts in this section that urges us to avoid temptation, certainly it deals with that element, proper behavior. How often do we face problems? How often are there conflicts in the world that come from a failure to listen? How many situations are there where there are misunderstandings? I haven't listened well to you. You haven't listened well to me. I haven't asked questions to try to find out exactly what it is that you have said what you did. Why exactly I understood it in the way that I did. Sometimes I'm afraid we are so quick to think about, well, here's what I want to say next, that we don't take the time to listen. But notice in the context as well, we must also recognize that this admonition to be swift to hear, I think, must also be understood to relate to our response to God. Remember, as we notice, we are to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. If we simply hear the Word of God and we don't truly allow God's Word to make an impact in our lives, we're hearers, but we're not doers. If we come to the Word of God and we have preconceived ideas, we've already decided before we even look at what God's Word says that here's what we want to do, here's what we think it says and what it means, then we are not being swift to hear the Word of God. I want us to think together about how listening is a crucial element in all relationships. And I'd like us to spend some time thinking about that, and particularly how our swiftness, our quickness to listen and to hear plays a part in so many of our relationships in this life. Let's start with one of the basic relationships, and that is the relationship between parents and children. Go with me to the book of Proverbs for a moment. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1, I want us to look. We're going to look at several statements this morning in Proverbs very quickly. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Now think about that, children. And all of us have been children to parents to whom we ought to listen. Are we willing to really sit and think, what have my parents told me to do? What instruction are they giving to me for my good? Sometimes it's easy for us to come to it and think, well, they're not really looking out for what's best. They're old and they don't recognize anymore the way of the world, and so we don't listen to them. Notice we become like the scoffer who is not willing to listen to rebuke. Over in chapter 23 of Proverbs, notice with me in Proverbs chapter 23, we'll see a similar idea that talks about the importance, children, of listening to your parents, and not just listening so that you satisfy them, you make them think that you were listening when really your mind's off on something else. Notice Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Don't imagine they don't understand. Kids, they've been where you are. They understand what you face, and they are looking out for your best interests. And God has put them in a position to help you, but you've got to listen to them. But I want us to understand that this is not simply a one-way street. Over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, listen to an instruction that's given here specifically to fathers. Colossians 3 verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Think about that and look over in the book of Psalms. Look with me in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And I want us to notice something that is said about God, but it is a comparison to what fathers and parents ought to be. Verse 13 of Psalm 103, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now, I want us to notice in this comparison a couple of things that are important to our topic this morning. Now, of God, his pity that he feels for us is so much greater than a father or a mother can pity a child. I want us to notice as well, verse 14 there describes the fact that God knows us through and through. Now, parents, we are not in the same position as God to be able to have omniscience, to know all of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of our children. How is it that we may, as the text in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21 encourages, how is it that we may avoid leading our children to a point of discouragement? We have to have a willingness to listen. And that doesn't mean we always go along. Doesn't mean that we always agree, but if we are to pity our children, if we are to understand what may push them to the point of discouragement, we have to recognize, here's what they're saying, here's what they feel, here's what they're struggling with. And you know, sometimes as we bang heads with one another, why won't my kids do what I say? Why do my parents keep giving me these instructions? If we'll stop and we'll listen, and we'll show that kind of respect one to another, I think we may be amazed how there are so many kinds of solutions that come up. Kids, I want us to recognize, and this is true of all of the things that we're going to look at, and this is true of parents as well. What does it communicate to another person when we show an absolute unwillingness to listen to what they say? We communicate to them, you're not valuable enough to me to really take the time out of my day to listen to what you are saying. Now, we would never say that with our mouth, hopefully, but sometimes that's exactly what we communicate. when our mind's off somewhere else. And that's true of parents, or it's true of children as well. I think we must recognize that we're not going to be able to pity or sympathize or truly show the respect for our parents that we ought to if we are poor listeners. But I want us to think about another relationship as well in which this absolutely plays a vital role, and that is the relationship between husbands and wives. Two passages let's look at very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3 to begin with. 1 Peter chapter 3, in some instructions that are given to husbands and wives. I want you to notice here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Notice the wording that is directed here. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, speaking of the wife, with them, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, look quickly with me in Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll talk about both of these passages. Ephesians chapter 5, this beautiful passage that will talk to us about the church, but talks to us about the church by way of the comparison it draws between husbands and wives. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I want us to think, first of all, about this text in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Dwell with our wives with understanding. How am I going to understand my wife if I don't have a willingness to listen? Now, I understand that sometimes, and you can ask my wife, I become the worst listener if there are worries that I have or stresses that are going on. And I realize that that sometimes can be a hindrance. And sometimes our mind is on legitimate things, but if we always make it seem as if those are the things that get the focus of our time, and we never communicate to our mate that they are of value to us, and what they have to say is important, we're going to do damage to our relationship. Ephesians 5 here, as it talks about the idea of submission, we're going to see a little bit later in our lesson that many of these ideas having to do with submission and obedience have at their heart the idea of a willingness to listen. Am I being a submissive wife if I simply will nod and act as if I'm letting my husband lead when really I have another agenda and I want things to go a different way and it's in one ear and out the other? That's not respectful. That's not listening, is it? We have to understand that listening is at the heart of these good relationships. Listening is the way in which we communicate to one another. I do care about you. I do value what you have to say. I'm exalting you, and I want you. I want what is best for you. In every relationship in life, I think we must recognize, whether we're talking about neighbors, whether we're talking about employers and employees, students and teachers, or authorities and those that are under their protection, it must be that listening is something that is a part of our interaction with one another. How many conflicts could be eliminated if people would just take the time, stop, and listen? Is this what you meant to say? What are you really trying to communicate? What is your concern? What is your anxiety? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 once again. Colossians chapter 3, just a little bit after the text that we looked at earlier, Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, it talks about servants and masters, but I think we may recognize that in all of these things, and particularly in light of one of the statements that's going to be made here, we've got to broaden that beyond just application to the servant of ancient times or the master of ancient times. Listen to what it says beginning of verse 22. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, we could talk about many things pertaining to this. We could talk about authority. We could talk about a respect for authority. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 I think we must tie into this as well, because this passage that talks to us about the kind of attitude we ought to have towards those that are in a position of authority over us, and to the instructions that they give to us. The text says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good." We could talk about all sorts of situations in which I have a boss. I have someone that I must submit to. Now, what's involved in that? Well, I'm only going to really be in submission. I'm only really going to follow through with that relationship as God would have it to function if I'm willing to be quick to listen. If I don't listen to what they say, number one, I may not be viewed as a very good authority. Number two, I may not be viewed as a very good student, you know, if I don't hear what my teacher says. But I think there also becomes a place in which, if I'm an employer, I need to have a willingness to listen to, well, what are your needs to be able to carry out the things that I've asked you to do? Or a teacher, what are your struggles? What is it you don't understand? How can I help you to accomplish that? How important communication, listening, asking questions is in all of these areas. And certainly the world in which we live right now, we see all sorts of turmoil in the matter of authority, authorities that have misbehaved or those that fail to show a due respect for authority in all of those situations, how things could be improved. If there was simply this willingness to have enough concern for another person, to stop and listen to what's being said, and not let it go in one ear and out the other. Not be so quick to have what we're going to say and we're not even listening to what the other person is saying, but a willingness to listen. In the church as well, we must recognize that in our relationships between fellow Christians, in our relationships as a congregation in submission to its elders, in our interaction with one another, how important it is for us to be swift to hear, quick to listen. Over in Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages that you all know, that I take you to so often, but how can we not look at this text as we think about this issue of listening to others? Notice, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Do we sometimes, in our interaction with one another, treat it as if you exist to sit and listen to my problems? Now, I recognize that part of our interaction with one another in Christ has to do with that willingness to listen. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26, in this beautiful passage that here describes the way in which the body functions. Verse 26, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." We are not going to know how to rejoice with one another, how to weep with one another, how to suffer with one another, if I never tell you problems that I have and you never tell me problems that you have. What I'm suggesting is that I think if all of us are admonished to be swift to hear, let's not make it the kind of thing that, have you ever encountered folks that you know just about any time, if you ever ask them, "How are you doing?" You've got 30 minutes that you're going to hear about the struggles they are going through. But ironically, sometimes in those same situations, they will never turn it around and say, "Well, how are you doing? How are things in your life?" I think we must recognize that we are to be quick to listen, swift to hear, and this is a vital part of our relationship one with another. Go over to Hebrews chapter 13 with me for a moment. I want us to think about this particularly as it relates to the difficult job that those that serve in a capacity of elders in a congregation must face. They are looking out for the souls of those over whom they are watching. And how can it be that they can fulfill that work, that responsibility, if those souls that they are attempting to lead refuse to listen? I don't know anything about sheep. I don't know anything about acting as a shepherd of sheep. But from what I understand, you know, there's instruction, there's guidance, they have to direct them. And if a sheep just won't pay any attention to a shepherd, then how can it be fed properly? How can it be protected? How can it go in the direction that it needs to go? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now, this, as in all of the situations, must be two-sided as well. It cannot be that an eldership within a local congregation has an unwillingness to ask questions, an unwillingness to listen to the concerns and the needs and the anxieties of its flock. But by the same token, when an eldership speaks, the congregation must listen and must yield and must submit. I think we see throughout Scripture this important principle of having a willingness to listen to the guidance of others. Have you ever encountered those kind of people that they always seem to know or think they know everything in every situation? There's no kind of help or instruction that you can ever offer to them because they're convinced that they know what is best. It's very difficult to interact with individuals of that nature, isn't it? I find an example that is particularly interesting back in Luke chapter 2 and verse 46. If there was ever anyone that came onto this earth that could have properly been in a position in which he knew all things, we're not told exactly what the nature of Jesus' youth was, but God in the flesh, whether he's a youth or an adult, is God in the flesh. And yet in Luke chapter 2 and verse 46, we have this beautiful account where, remember, he had lingered in Jerusalem when his family had gone back, and his mother, she comes to the temple and is concerned. The Holy Spirit here through Luke records that he was sitting with the teachers listening and asking questions. Now, I understand he was a youth, but I think it also sets a wonderful example for us of the way in which we should seek guidance, we should seek instruction. Over in the book of Proverbs, once again, go with me to Proverbs now, and let's look in chapter 19, and we'll look at two passages in Proverbs chapter 19, both of which talk to us about this importance of desiring good counsel, listening to what others have to say, not just being so convinced that we know it all, but instead listening to and receiving instruction. Verse 20 to begin with, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. What a powerful point that is. If I hope, as I grow older in life, to get to that point in which I'll be able to have the wisdom I need to face various situations, I better listen to counsel, listen to instruction. Now, that doesn't mean that every counsel is going to be equally valid. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But notice verse 27. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You get to that point where you say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody can instruct me. Nobody can give me any advice. And I'll tell you, we are straying away from the words of knowledge. Now, in the text that we began with in James, you remember we pointed out the context of this statement, swift to hear. And we noticed how, before it had dealt with some things pertaining to enduring temptation. And then we looked at the fact that after it deals with some things pertaining to being good hearers of the Word. I want us to notice that hearing is a vital element in our relationship to God as well. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 teaches us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sometimes we want to act as if, you know, I have a great relationship with God. He loves me. He takes care of me. I look forward to the salvation that comes in Christ. He has forgiven me of my sin. But what is our attitude towards His Word? Do we, again, approach it with preconceived ideas? Do we approach it with an attitude that says, well, I already know what I ought to do? Or instead, do we open-heartedly yield ourselves to what we find. Over in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 3, there is really a frightening statement that the Lord makes about the people of Israel in the days of Ezekiel. And I want you to notice, we pick up in the middle of a thought, but beginning in verse 6 and go down to verse 7, it says, "Not too many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." Sometimes we must recognize that part of the issue with our world today, part of the issue perhaps in our own hearts, as we look to the Word of God, if we don't like what we find and we are impudent, we are hard-hearted, we're not going to listen to God, and we're not going to listen to what the servants of God say as they direct us to the Word of God. We need to be swift to hear the things of God. Now, I want us to shift gears just a little bit. And we've talked some throughout some of these examples of relationships and listening. We've talked a little bit about obedience, obedience to civil authority. We've talked about obedience to parents. We've talked about that kind of thing. Obedience to God as well is something that is a part of what it means to listen. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. And I want us to notice a statement in Romans chapter 6. And I want us to apply it to this idea of listening. Now, you may say, well, why would we apply this to listening? Listen to what it says. "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to first obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience to righteousness?" Now, what does this have to do with listening? The word here that is translated obey is the Greek word hupakuo. Akuo means to hear, to listen. And hupo is a prefix. It's a preposition when it stands alone, but it's a prefix that either can intensify a word, or in its literal kind of physical sense, it can refer to that which is under something. So we could literally translate hupakuo to hear or to listen under someone. It is a submissive kind of attitude. It is a willingness to heed what is being said and to follow what is being said. I want us to think about that as we relate it to each of the ideas that we've looked at so far this morning. When I obey my parents, am I really listening and putting myself under their instruction? When I obey civil authority, am I really listening and putting myself under their instruction? When I obey an eldership, am I listening and putting myself under their instruction? Or God, am I listening and putting myself under His instruction? Jesus, over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, in the context of showing the imminence of judgment, the fact that there'll be a time coming in which all things will be revealed, Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, Jesus says, "Take heed how you hear." It is very possible that we can be, as James chapter 1 and verse 25, in that context of talking about being doers or hearers and not doers, it warns against being a forgetful hearer. And think about that. As a husband, there have been far too many times I've been a forgetful hearer to something that my wife has said. Whether it's stressful or whether I just wasn't paying close attention at the time, I'm a forgetful hearer if I heard it, but then far too often I've got to go and say, "Tell me again what you said with that." Now, the way to remedy that is, when something's being said, to listen better, not to be a forgetful hearer. Now, as this applies to the Word of God, what it means is, as I look to the instruction of the Word of God, I don't just hear the words and then move on to the next verse. I look at the words, and I'm not a forgetful hearer. I think intently about what is being said. The alternative to that is I can be, as Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11 describes, I can be dull of hearing. And that's not just talking about an inability to hear. It's talking about not letting it get through because we don't devote enough energy, enough commitment to it. Now, with that said, I think we also must recognize that as the Lord urges us here, to take heed how we hear. It doesn't mean that everything that is said is always of equal and valid profit. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In several of our lessons over the last Sunday and even Wednesday, we dealt with some elements of this text in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice verse 14. We are familiar with the instruction in verse 15 to be diligent or to study to show yourself approved to God. We have looked in last week and Wednesday night at some of these dangers that come in this false doctrine that was by Hymenaeus and Philetus there concerning the resurrection that had caused some to stray from the faith. But I want you to notice here in verse 14, right before these familiar passages, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. It's not just about listening to everything that comes along. We have to take heed how we listen. And I want us to understand, go with me to 1 John chapter 4 for a moment. 1 John chapter 4. You know, in the world in which we live, there are scads and scads, scores and scores. Is there a word scad? I don't know. I may have just made that up. There are scores and scores of ideas that will come along. People will tell you all sorts of things, many that they want to hear because they've imagined them. But over in 1 John chapter 4, look with me at verses 5 and 6. For here we see the warning that, you know, the world's going to say what the world wants to hear. But if we have a love for God, we will look to what God has said. Verse 5 of 1 John chapter 4. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We need to be swift to hear. We need to be quick to listen. That doesn't mean that every notion, every idea that comes along, we are swift to hear and accept it. We must take heed how we hear. The last text we'll leave you with. Go to Proverbs one last time. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. And let's notice together verse 4. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Now, I want you to think about that in the context of our study this morning. Because if we are listening carefully to God as we follow His instruction, and if we are cautioned to take heed how we hear those things that are not from God, notice here verse 4 describes the evildoer as one that gives heed to false lips. And part of what that reminds me of is, let's say I'm doing that which is wrong. Let's say I'm doing that which is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. I look to the Word of God and I don't like it, and so I don't listen to it. But I can go and I can find those that will tell me, you know, what you're doing is just fine. What you're doing is absolutely what you ought to do. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. We need to be swift to hear, but we need to be swift to hear the things of God. Brethren, let us in all aspects of our lives, in the relationships that God has blessed us with, one with another, in the relationships within the home, in the relationships within the church, in our daily life as we work jobs and go to school and interact with our neighbors and friends around us, may we be swift to hear. But especially as it pertains to our response to the Word of God, may it be something that speaks to us through the pages that were written long ago, but are there to communicate God's mind to us today. And may it be that we are not forgetful hearers. May it not be that we are dull of hearing. May it not be that, as James would talk about in the text beyond where we looked at, that we're like the one that looks in a mirror and then forgets what he looks like. May it not be that way. But may it be that we are swift to hear the Word of God and to apply it to our lives. Here this morning, you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you be swift to hear the teaching of the good news of salvation to Jesus Christ? God loves you. And God sent His Son to die that you might not perish because of your sins. Put your faith in Him as the sacrifice for sin, as the Son of God. Repent of sin that separates you from God. Have the courage to confess your faith in Jesus before men. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to His body. He puts you into His kingdom. You become a part of His church. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?